Hey, good morning, Online Church, NCC Online. So glad to be with you again today. Whether you're watching this on Facebook as it premieres or whether you're watching on demand, we're just glad that you are staying connected in these times. So important to stay connected to God's Word, to community. Hope you're doing that. Hope you're being safe. I wanted to give our church just a really quick update on Cuba. Cuba is a small country that we've had a profound partnership with through the years, and it's just grown every year. This year, we just recently sent them $6,000, so we were able to give that because of your generosity and our really big giving it all away offering. We're still just having fun using that for God's purposes in the ways that we said. And so they were just thrilled about that. That supports 40 pastors for a year because of their economy. And also Pastor Oscar, the president of Cristo Centro, the network of churches, told me that they're also looking into buying a small piece of land, which is pretty new and unique to expand one of the churches there. So this is really cool. And we just continue to get great reports about the gospel, God moving in Cuba, many people coming to Christ, churches are growing, they're sending out missionaries to other parts of the world, and we're just thrilled to be a small part of that. Today we want to continue our marriage series, Till Death Do Us Part. Last week we talked about a really big commitment that we have, the covenant of marriage, that this is like a super bonding agent, a gorilla glue, if you will, when we make the covenant of marriage. This is a mystical and spiritual union that only God himself through his spirit could do. And that's something we need to take seriously. It's not temporary. It's meant to be permanent. It's not trivial. It's meant to be serious. And yet it's extremely fulfilling. And today I want to talk about the words we use, because one of the top issues that comes up every time you talk about marriage is communication. It's one of the top reasons people get divorced. It's one of the top reasons why we have so much conflict. And of course, not just in marriage, but in our world in general. And so this will be a message for you, no matter whether you're single or married or remarried or whatever your status might be. But certainly for our married couples, I hope you are able to lean in today to continue to improve upon your marriage. Or if you're looking forward to being married someday, to have a good sense about what God says about the words that we use. And so I want to talk about that. I came across some commercial slogans recently that did not translate very well through the years in the countries that they were trying to sell their products. For example, Kentucky Fried Chicken once tried to use their slogan, which of course is finger licking good, as everybody knows. And they use that slogan in China, except there, their translation came out to be, eat your fingers off. And as you could imagine, that was not a really great selling point to the Chinese people. The Pepsi slogan, I remember this one, come alive with the Pepsi generation. Remember the Pepsi generation? They don't really talk about that anymore. That slogan was used in Taiwan, but it translated to be, Pepsi will bring your ancestors back from the dead. Again, not really what they're looking for in their carbonated beverage. Did not sell very well because of the translation. When General Motors introduced the Chevy Nova so many years ago, they didn't put any thought into the word Nova or Nova. And if you know a little bit of Spanish, you know that means it doesn't run or it doesn't go. Needless to say, when that went to South America, they did not sell any Novas because people were not interested in a car that didn't go. And then finally, Coors had a slogan, turn it loose, which was used in Spanish and mistranslated into Spanish as drink Coors and get diarrhea. Just brought a whole new meaning to turn it loose. So I'm sorry for that last one, but that is what happens. And this, because words are so hard, are they not? And if you're a married person, you know, words are hard. Even when you think you're doing pretty good, someone could still very much misunderstand you. And worse, we get in our flesh or we get in some anger and all of a sudden our words just go off the hook. James 3, 7 and 8 says this, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Of course, he talks a lot there, and you can read it for yourself about the tongue, about communication, our words, how important that is for the Christian. Within the Christian church, And of course, paramount to our relationships, if you're married, is your spouse. Now, it's true. We can tame all kinds of animals. I mean, dogs can be tamed. You throw a ball, teach them how to go fetch. You could teach them that in 5 minutes for most dogs. You know, parrots can actually be trained to talk or at least mimic the human talking. That's pretty cool. Dolphins can be tamed. I mean, you ever go to SeaWorld? They can jump through hoops and all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, even guinea pigs, as simple as these animals are, and let me tell you, they're pretty simple, can be tamed. I saw my daughter, Kara, she taught her guinea pig how to follow her finger around a cage. It took her not too long, and they were able to do that. So even these guys can be tamed. But James says not the tongue. Now, when you read that, it can be disappointing. It can be a little bit, maybe you can get a little pessimistic because you say, well, if the tongue can't be tamed, how could I even try? But the point, of course, is as difficult as it is that even simple animals could be tamed, we can't do it on our own. And that really is the thread there, that of course human beings cannot tame the tongue, but the Spirit of God can. And so as we walk in the Spirit, we're filled with His Spirit. We walk with Christ. That is to say, we're Christians walking in the light, not perfect, but following after Jesus. More and more as we grow, our tongue can be tamed. And the Bible gives very specific principles. I'm going to talk about five of them that will help us to do that. Some really, really good ones. And there's many more, but these are some top five. And to make it a little more interesting, I've framed them as movie quotes, famous movie quotes. So if you're watching at home, you can try to guess what the movie is before I tell you if you want to or not. That's up to you, just to make it a little more interesting today. One of the principles we see repeatedly in the Bible is summarized in this quote, "Houston, we have a problem." Now, what's that movie from? You probably said it out loud. Of course, it's Apollo 13. Everybody knows that movie. Or if you don't, time to go see it. Pretty good. And these words are spoken from the spacecraft to Mission Control when chaos is erupting. They really thought they were in big danger and thought they were going to die. And so, of course, this sort of "Houston, we have a problem," one of the most popular movie quotes. Now, what's actually ironic about this particular movie quote is it's not the words they say in the movie. This movie quote has been misquoted for many, many years. We always say it as "Houston, we have a problem." But the actual words in the movie was, "Okay, Houston, we've had a problem here." That's the actual quote if you go back and watch it more carefully, which illustrates the very problem that we have, is that words are hard. We have a real problem when it comes to communication. We can't even quote a famous movie line properly. When it comes to language, we really struggle. And I think the problem is this. The bottom line is this. We vastly underestimate the power of our words. I believe all people do it. And the Bible tries to help us to see that is always a mistake. That is, "Houston, we have a problem." Because when you vastly underestimate your words, you're not going to be careful with them, and you're not going to use them properly the way God says. Listen to these Proverbs. Proverbs 18:21. "The tongue has the power of life and death." They're succinct, straightforward, powerful. Let me read that again. Let this soak in for a second. Think about these words from God's word. "The tongue has the power of life and death." And we all think about it that way. We say sticks and stones will break my bones, knaves will never hurt me. But the Bible says, no, it's deadly. It can bring death, or it can bring life. It can bring healing. Just the words that we say. And this little tiny thing called the tongue that produces these words. Proverbs 12:18 says similarly, "The words of the reckless," people who just aren't caring about what they say, just saying whatever they want, "pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Again, a contrast. And there are other verses like this where it talks about the tongue either bringing a sword or bringing healing. It's going to bring death or it's going to bring life. And that's the power we have, everybody has, every single day. And so when you wake up in the morning, we need to decide, what kind of words am I going to use? And if you're a married person, particularly towards your spouse, this number one relationship, I'm going to make it my habit. I'm going to make it my practice. I'm going to make it my priority to speak words of healing, to speak words of life, to speak words of encouragement. Of course, starts with our spouse. If you have children, if you're in the work world, with your with your teammates, with your if you're in school, every direction, that we try to use our words to build up rather than to slash out. We can compliment people. We can say that something that they do that's just great. How important is that? That seems so small, but just to say something that you see positive in another person. You can forgive people. You can say please and thank you, which we'll come back to on a different point. You can encourage someone to do something that they need to do. And it's not only with our tongue. We know even more today than ever, we see it in the written word, whether that's texting or posting or whether it's writing a letter, old school. Putting your words on a paper or computer is just as powerful, sometimes more so, so that we shouldn't be reckless about the way we post online. Ephesians 4:29 continues this idea. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. And you can see how difficult this is and why James says it's impossible apart from God. According to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And your words will, if you do it this way, that by God's Spirit, you can use wholesome talk, not unwholesome talk, dirty jokes or hardcore sarcasm or just saying sort of something with a face and expression that shows that you don't really mean it, you know, but to build up and to allow ourselves, again, especially with our spouses, to lift them up in a way that is so helpful. I become convinced through the years that part of the problem that we have is that we don't see the power and the danger that lies in the words we say. Men, I don't know that you realize how important your words are to your wife and how easily you can undermine her whole day by the mean-spirited words you say or criticizing or biting words that you might say. You don't realize how some days she may feel insecure and your words just come along to solidify that insecurity and just knock her down. So that's the negative. But you also have the ability to come alongside and do the opposite. And that's your God-given gift and ability to speak life, to speak encouragement, to help her to see how amazing she is in God's eyes, how loved she is by Jesus. Women don't often understand how powerful their words are to their husbands. And I think that a woman has the ability just to sort of slash out his knees right from underneath him in the words she says. Now, with men, they won't often let you know that that's what's happened because we're taught to be guarded and not let our feelings show. But the reality is, inside, the words that you said just completely crushed him and made him feel like he was a kid again. And that's the power that we have with our words. So we need to be extremely cautious and careful to use them positively, the way that God intended, to use them as life-giving, just like the Lord wants. Number two, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Now, you may have to be a little older to know this movie, although I'm not quite old enough to know it, but I still know it, and I've seen it. And of course, it's Cool Hand Luke. This was 1967. Paul Newman is this prisoner and the prison warden, and he just go at it. And it's sort of a very famous movie line. What we have here is a failure to communicate. And that is so true. Here's what the Bible says, James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, James just entreats us, men and women, both of us, take note of this. And here is a bit of a solution he gives for the failure to communicate. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Everyone should be slow to speak. And everyone should be slow to become angry. There's three parts there. Really, really simple. A, B, C. However, as everybody knows, very difficult to put into practice. Simple to understand, hard to do. And what are the three parts? Be quick to listen. That is to say, rather than just having to get my own words out when I'm in a conversation, or when I'm trying to have a conflict, or when I'm trying to maybe get my point across, it's very easy, and it's the default for most people, and especially married people, to talk over the other person, to try to have the last word, to really try to have the other person see your view. And that's not completely wrong. But the Bible says that shouldn't be first. First, listen, and make that your rule in all your conversations. I'm going to listen first. It's really hard. I struggle with it. But it's a discipline, and you can get better if you prioritize that over time. I'm going to listen first. I'm going to understand, especially in marriage, what my wife, what my husband is trying to say. And not just the words they're trying to say, but what's going on in their hearts. What are they feeling? What's their perspective? What have I done to aggravate this situation? Secondly, I'm going to be slow to speak. Now, that sounds like the first one, but it's actually different because the first one's listening. It's active. It's with my ears. The second part is about the speed at which I respond. So even though I'm listening and not talking, I'm still going to be slow to respond. I'm going to measure my words before I respond. I am going to speak, but I'm going to make it measured. I'm probably not going to say a lot of words. I'm going to probably keep it short and sweet. And then, of course, slow to become angry. That may seem incongruent with these other two, but it is right in line because I think anyone who's ever been in an argument knows that it came out of anger. The emotion that we have, the human emotion, it stirs us up. It could be a feeling of just complete anger. It could be a feeling of resentment. It could be something that got built up over years where someone just didn't respect you. It could be something that someone did to you years ago and you still remember, you haven't forgiven them. All related to anger. And anger will motivate your speech more than anything else, and not for the positive. In fact, when you're angry, good time not to talk at all. And so we practice the threefold path here of James 1:19. Proverbs 18:13 adds this: to answer before listening, this is folly and shame. Minces no words again in Proverbs as usual. The wisdom of God says to answer before listening. That's just an unwise thing to do, but we do it all the time. And again, not only in our interpersonal conversations, not only in our marriages, but have you read social media lately? Have you been on Twitter? I mean, good night. It's a whole bunch of people, Christians and non-Christians, talking over each other, not listening to each other, and answering before anyone's asked a question. It's just indicative of what's in the human heart. And so the Bible calls that out in us and says, it's folly and shame. Don't do that. You don't have to do that. With the Spirit's help, you can do it very, very differently. I found this video I wanted to show you. It's a little bit comical, I thought. But the reason I want to show it to you and what I would hope that you would get out of it is this. In conversations, men and women often see things differently. And many men find that their communication is all about problem solving. You might be a person like that. I can be like that. Many men, some women too, are like that. And so rather than following the verse James 1:19, instead of being quick to listen, we're just trying to fix a problem. When often what our wives are really looking for is for us to actually just listen and to be supportive and to validate their situation, their feelings. And we might offer a solution if there's a real problem. So take a look at this video for a minute.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
No, see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Yeah, so this nail on the forehead, you know, in the video, of course, it's meant to see the male's perspective. That's all he can see because he knows what the problem is. But so women, you could see how men might look at a conversation. But men, you got to see that sometimes there is no nail on the forehead like this. You just think there is. And even if there is, that really isn't solving the problem, because the real problem is that I need to have my feelings expressed. I need to get this out. I need you to listen to me. And when you don't listen, you're actually making the problem worse. Number three. Now, this is a funny one. I am Groot. That's the quote. Everybody know the movie? This is from, of course, from Guardians of the Galaxy, either one. And I really like this movie. In fact, my favorite Marvel superhero is Time Lord. I know it's weird, but that's the one I like because he's fun. He can dance, and he loves 80s music. So, I mean, what's not to like? And one of his sidekicks and his team, his posse, is Groot, who's basically a big tree, or a little tree, depending on the timeline. And all he says in the movie, his only line, is, I am Groot. He gets three words, but he says the same three words over and over and over and over and over again, because he can express himself with only three words. Now, Groot's favorite Bible verse, I'm pretty sure, is Proverbs 21, verse 23, which says this: watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Now, this is a continuation of the last point, but I want to emphasize it just a little bit more. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. Bible telling us straight up here, and you will stay out of trouble. How much trouble have you gotten in your life, don't answer out loud, from not keeping your mouth shut? I think everybody could answer that with a situation, a story. It's like, oh, I wish I hadn't said anything. I know I have some of those. And the Bible says, look, just keep your mouth shut. That's what we can learn from Groot. He only says three words. I am Groot. Now, hopefully we'll do better than that. But what's also fascinating about that character that can only say three words is that everybody knows what he means in the movie. And it's sort of a joke. But the reality is, when you're watching the movie, you kind of know what he means too. He says, I am Groot. He says it in a certain tone. He says it with a certain context. And he says it to a certain person. And actually, it makes perfect sense what he's trying to convey with those three words, which tells me another thing, that communication is more than the words. And if we're listening and not speaking, and going back to James 1:19, we can find a whole lot out about a person and maybe really be able to have a deeper level of friendship with them, a deeper level of marriage, and maybe even help them with something in their lives that they need help with. But it's going to take active listening and keeping our mouth shut, which is so difficult. Number four. Now, this quote here is the most obscure. I do not expect you to know it, but I'll put it up to see if anybody knows it. It's, manners are a way of showing other people we care about them. Manners are a way of showing other people. Now, I'll give it away a little bit with the actor here, because this is Brendan Fraser. And the movie is Blast from the Past. Now, this is a little more obscure, this quote, but it really fits the point here. The movie Blast from the Past is a movie about a man played by Brendan Fraser, who's in a bunker for his entire life up to the age 35. And it's a sort of a fallout shelter. His parents think the world's ended. It's a silly movie. But what's interesting is when he comes into the real world at age 35, he does something very unique, and that is to say, he's polite, he's kind, he is slow to speak, he treats people really respectfully, he says good words, he doesn't say bad words. Why? Because he's been in this sort of time capsule, and he doesn't know what the culture's like, and he gets sort of dumped out into, I think it's LA or somewhere in California, and the culture's just so different. And it teaches an important lesson. And he says it in the quote, manners are a way of showing other people we care about them. That's really important. And we need civility, manners, politeness today, I believe, more than we have ever needed them, because we've lost it in our culture. And so I would like to call us back to that. And it begins in our marriages. And you know, I can't tell you how often we lose civility, kindness, politeness, manners in our marriages. We just think, well, this is the person that I can just be myself with. So we sort of throw them out the windows. And that's true. We can be ourselves, but not in a way that loses kindness and civility and deference and again, politeness and manners. In fact, when you start to use manners in your marriage, you will find that it does what this quote says, which is it's just a way of being kind and caring for that person, saying thank you, saying please, thank you for doing the dishes. I really appreciate that. Complimenting people, not flattery, real genuine compliments. Don't use flattery. Bible actually talks against that. And you'll start to see that walls will break down, and pretty soon the compliments get reciprocated and the thank yous get reciprocated and everything gets elevated in your words. Here's what the Bible says about this in Romans 12:10. It says, love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. There are a lot of verses about respect, honor, and this verse courses to the church where to treat each other with mutual affection, which is sort of a spiritual love that the body of Christ has one for the other, even through thick and thin, even with people that you don't necessarily get along with. But then it also says, outdo one another in showing honor. It's sort of a competition here. He throws down the gauntlet, Paul does in Romans. He says, I want you actually to sort of outdo each other. I want you to sort of try to out polite manner, love, respect, honor the other person. And I would say if you're married, why not have a bit of a competition, even if it's just you having it against yourself, to outdo your spouse in love and outdo your spouse in honor. And I think part of that is the words that we say. A big part of it is respecting them, being kind, having politeness, having respect, showing love and affection in those simple ways. And you might be shaking your head on this one. You might think, that's crazy. You know, I get all the other ones, but why? What about thank you and please is so big? What's a big deal? Well, I would have you look at this little business called Chick-fil-A. And Chick-fil-A sort of made this their number one thing. When they came into business, they decided they were going to be more polite and more kind to people than anybody else. And they just started it with two little words, my pleasure. And when you go there and you get your sandwich or your nuggets or your salad or whatever, your waffle fries, they always say my pleasure, as if you're doing them a favor rather than them giving you this awesome food. And I remember when I moved to Elizabeth City, about seven, almost 8 years ago now, the Chick-fil-A was just being built. It was just being put into our small town. And they brought a new culture. Within a couple of years, all the fast food places around were saying, my pleasure. People in the audience, you remember this. So that just shows you the power of just two little words and being polite and showing deference, showing kindness. Now bring that to your marriage, much more important. Bring that to your top relationships. Bring that to your children. Bring that to your friendships. And see what happens. And I guarantee you'll start to see everything elevate. Make it an intentionality of outdoing each other in honor. And watch how God blesses that. I think you'll really be amazed. And then number five, this is a fun quote. Everyone's going to know this one. You sit on a throne of lies. Of course, the movie, kind of give it away here, is Elf. When Elf, toward the beginning of the movie, is sitting on fake Santa's lap, and he realizes this is not the real Santa. He tells him that he's sitting on a throne of lies, and that's become a pretty big movie quote. And in our talk, with our words, of course, we have to be honest. And nowhere is that more important in our relationships than in marriage. The Bible says this, Proverbs 24:26, an honest answer is actually like a kiss on the lips. That's a pretty interesting verse. I don't know quite exactly what it means to their culture. I'm sure it means a little more nuanced than it does to us today. But what I take away is pretty obvious that honesty is so important. And not lying. Of course, we see that as a thread throughout the Bible. It's talked about in the Ten Commandments, the truthfulness. Jesus himself is the truth. He's the way, the truth, the life. He only brings the truth. We know the devil's the liar. It goes against God. And when we bring untruth into our top relationships, again, especially marriage, then we set ourselves up for failure. And when you bring untruths into the foundation of your marriage, it's just going to be a matter of time before the foundation starts to crack and crumble. If you tell your spouse little white lies and think they're okay, you're going to find that you're going to get yourself in trouble, and vice versa. You might say, well, I just had to stay a little late at work, but the reality was you wanted to hang out with the guys at the bar. Well, she's probably going to find that out eventually. She's going to see the receipt. She's going to put two and two together, and vice versa. You say, well, I was with my friend, but you weren't with your friend. You were doing something you didn't want your husband to know. Those are lies in marriage, and we need to be honest, and we need to tell the truth. Now, obviously, there's a point where you might withhold the truth for sensitivity, and you don't put someone down or insult someone when you don't have to. You're not brutal with the truth. The Bible puts love as the overwhelming virtue. But we should be 100% honest and truthful, and that's so important. The New York Times actually said that a survey that they had showed that 91% of Americans, 91% of us confess they regularly do not tell the truth. Now, that's a staggering number, because that means most Christians are included in 91% of America. And that means most Christians are not regularly telling the truth. And of course, that would include to our relationships. 20% admit that they can get through a day without conscious, premeditated white lies. In other words, 80% of people are telling what they consider white lies throughout the day, every day. And only 20% can get through a day without doing that. That's not good, especially if this is to your top relationships. And if you're married, again, please be honest, get real. And here's the side effect. As we mentioned last week, when you are honest with who you are with your spouse, you become known. When you're dishonest, you're not known, and you know that. You're like, she doesn't know me. He doesn't really know me. If he knew me, he wouldn't love me anymore. But the reality is, when you're committed in your relationship, you're going to be known and loved. And that's a part of what it's supposed to be. So in conclusion, words are hard. I know we're just getting started today. We could probably talk about this one for a long time and just be scratching the surface. But hopefully these five are really helpful, give a lot of ammunition for this week, to this year. And again, especially if you're married, that we would double down on this one, that we'd be so conscientious about our words, that you would pray with me right now, that the Spirit of God would show you how to equip yourself to be life-giving with your words. And maybe even there's a specific thing that you need to say. Maybe it's a truth that you need to get out. Maybe it's a compliment that you've been holding back because you feel funny saying it. Maybe it's just the words, I love you, that need to be repeated, the most powerful words of all, in all the world. And that would be your action item today. So let's pray together right now. Lord, I do want to pray for each one listening in and for all of us in our church family, that you would help us with this monumental problem that we have with our tongues, that we just aren't able to tame them. But Lord Jesus, we know you can, and so we give you the lordship of our communication, of our words, of our lips, that we would only say what is pleasing in your sight. We're not going to do it perfectly, Lord, but we pray that we would do it better. And for the married people listening, Lord, you would give them grace in their words with their spouses. May this be a day and a week where things start to really improve. If forgiveness needs to happen, may the words, forgive me, take place, and I forgive you. If someone needs to say, I'm sorry, may they say, I'm sorry. If someone needs to share a truth, may they share a truth. And Lord, may that be seasoned with grace and love. May we be quick to listen and slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And Lord Jesus, that you would be pleased in all of this, to help us and equip us as we become a compelling presence for Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, thank you so much, church. I hope you keep tuning in for all of this series. Now, for some who are single, might have been a little harder to go into the ones that were more about being married. And for those of you who are married, you might be a little harder to come into next week, which is going to be Pastor Dustin speaking about singleness. but I know his theme, and it's going to be really good for all of us to hear it. So I hope that you'll still tune in, stay connected through these services online. Have a great week. Stay safe, and remember to watch the words that you say this week.